But to get to spend time with him and sit, have breakfast, talk, listen to the stories, and really hear his heart and get to know him was such a privilege. And he truly is one of the generals in the faith. I mean, his love for the Lord and love for people, you know, I don't think we always see that when we're sitting out in the audience, you know, with preachers and pastors and evangelists. But to get down and sit with him and know, you know, get to know him better, and I really look forward to getting to know him better the next time. That's the first tour I've done with Chariots, and to spend a week, you know, like I say, riding, having meals together, just sitting and talking, and you know, just getting to know each other and sharing stories, sharing testimonies, was such a privilege. And so some of what I'm going to talk about today is some things that I learned on that tour and some things that he taught when he came here. You know, his theme for this year is, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory, your manifest goodness, your manifest presence, your manifest power. You know, so that's what I've been doing. You know, I've never journaled before. I think I just wrote so much when I was in school. And then I write at work a lot, and I really don't enjoy sitting down and writing. It just seems awful burdensome to me. But so I started doing that, though. I started, after I got back from that tour, I just started. And since I get to preach today, I've got 10, 11 pages of notes. I got a book. I got a bigger book. I got a lot to say. I'll try not to go too long, but God, show me your glory. And so what I did, I started writing that down. Every morning I get up and I write on, I get my little book out and I just write down, God, show me your glory. And I don't have a clue. I mean, I'm trying really hard just to empty myself, you know, and just let him speak to me. And so I do that. My routine basically is I get up, I get my coffee going so I can get awake enough to listen. God, show me your glory. I read my devotional. I crack my Bible. I've got some other books that I like to read sometimes. And I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit that when I reach for whatever's on the table in front of me, that's what he wants me to read today. And so that's what I do. And he's just been showing me some incredible things. And I'm going to share some of those things with you. And after doing that, I take some notes on what he's showing me, the messages, what he wants me to know. But then I write down, and this was the scariest thing when I did it the first time. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Because I didn't want him to send me to Africa. And I didn't, you know, I don't have any intention of going to Bible school, quitting my job and doing something like that. And he hasn't asked me to do that, and that's good. I'm not a pastor. I know that. And I've not been called to be a pastor. You know, we all have a ministry, but it is what he calls you to do. And so it was just awesome when I started doing that. I'll be honest, the first time I did that, you know what he told me to do? Honor my wife. I thought that, for the first message that he gave me, to honor my wife. I thought, wow. But what's the Bible say about honoring your wife so that my prayers won't be hindered? And I thought, wow, that's a pretty awesome thing to tell me. I mean, we're just getting started. So, you know, every day I just anticipate, what's he going to tell me next? So, God, show me your glory. And what do you want me to do today? And I'm just going to read some things that he's been telling me. What do you want me to do today, Lord? He said, spend time in prayer. Just you and me. He says, the degree that you experience my manifest presence depends on my level of hunger for you, for me. He just wanted to spend time, you know. Another morning he says, remember Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And it just makes me stop and think about, you know, how much he loves us and, you know, how much he wants to do for us. You know, every one of us is born with a plan, a purpose, and a destiny. He's got that already written out in his book. And we just need to grasp hold of that. He said to me, be Jesus to somebody today. Walk in truth and in love. Love people the way I love. Show someone my glory, my goodness, and my love. You know, I remember going through that day, and I got to the end of it, and I thought to myself, did I do that? You know, because you never know who you're going to affect throughout your day with the things that you say, with your attitude, you know, just having compassion if somebody's going through some things. I don't know if I affected anybody that day, but I sure hope I did. He said, get stirred up. Let the revelation of my love permeate your spirit. And the Bible talks about getting us, you know, stir yourself up. And I think when you really start to think about how much he loves you, you know, really start to think about how much he loves you. How can you help but not get stirred up? He said, consider my word. And he gave me 1 Thessalonians 5:15-18. Pursue what is good, both for you and for all. And that's an interesting verse too, because it's, you know, it's not always about me. You know, it's about people. It's about the people I encounter. You know, what's good for the person I'm sitting next to? What is their need? You know, I know what my needs are, but what is their need? And when I start to consider that person, it changes the way I think about that person. He said, stop strategizing. Stop strategizing how much you want to please me. He said, just spend time with me. Let me spend time with you. Let's walk and talk together. You know, isn't that what he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve? Come in the cool of the day and just walk and have communion. You know, what an awesome thought is that. And just, you know, sometimes I think the pace of our society and life and the things and the busyness we get into, we forget to do that. Just stop for a minute and spend time with the Lord. It doesn't have to be some profound prayer or language or anything. It's just spending time with him and just appreciating his goodness. You know, he said, get out of your comfort zone. Be bold like never before. You know, that's part of the things we do with Chariots of Light is ministering the gospel, just sharing the gospel with people. And it can be kind of intimidating if you haven't done it before. But I think that's good for everybody to think about. You know, and we talk about that, getting out of our comfort zone, you know, and sharing the gospel. Just share God's love with somebody you don't know. You know, let go of yourself and don't be concerned how you look to others. He says, the only time you look foolish is when you're afraid to do what I ask you to do. And really, that's truth right there, you know. He's never going to put you in a situation that he doesn't have a way for you to get through it. You know, he's already got the plan set. If he asks you to do something, he's already made a way to do it. And to doubt him or to be afraid to move, you know, the way he asks is just, you know, it's crazy. He says, pursue me. In Hosea 6:3, he says, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. You know, his faithfulness is steadfast. And when you pursue him, he shows up. He's dependable as the sun coming up and going down every day. You know, he's dependable as the day is long. And he's there every time. I can remember, you know, as a young believer, you know, and just trying to figure out what all this meant, you know. And I got myself in situations lots of times. And every time I called out his name, he was there. And he didn't hesitate, you know. He says, stir up the joy that is in you. He said to me, to resist the joy is to resist me. Be full of joy and laugh. Laugh at the devil. My joy is in you. My joy is in you is my joy in you is what others will see. You know, It's not a good witness to be out on the streets and be all down in, you know, down in the mouth and not be able to express that joy that he's already put in us. That's just not a good witness. And why would anybody want to come to Christ if that's how you are? You know, people see that. You know, like Joel always says, more things are caught than taught. And see, somebody sees you laughing in the face of whatever you're going through. And that was another thing he said. Laugh at every negative thing that comes against you. Because in Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon shall prosper against you. You know, when people see you laugh in the face of what you're going through, you know, for one, they're going to wonder what's wrong with you. But the other thing is they're going to say, how can you do that? Because my confidence is in the Lord. You know, he says, I've already given you the victory. Receive it. Receive it with gladness and shout for joy. Another morning he said, expect. Expect my glory to be poured out, my manifest presence, my manifest power, my manifest goodness. You know, anytime we go to the Lord in prayer, anytime we go to the Lord, period, just, you know, we can expect him to act. We can expect to see him do something. We can expect results because of his faithfulness, like I just talked about. He said, partake in the inheritance I have for you. He said, it's high time to get serious about our relationship together. To really get to know me. Study my word. Stop wasting time. Put down those things that robbed from me. I guess he kind of spanked me that morning, didn't he? You know, because we do. We get involved with things that just waste time and take away from what he wants us to do. He told me Jesus is the brightness of my glory, the expressed image of me. That's in Hebrews 1:3. Romans 8:29 says, be conformed to the image of Jesus. That tells me I'm the brightness. I'm the brightness of his glory too, if I'm conformed to the image of Jesus. Ask me for something that's beyond your reach in the natural. I think that's something, you know, we sometimes are afraid to do. We get this false humility or this thought that we're not worthy to ask. But we are. I mean, how many? And it's in the Bible, you know. He'll give you your heart's desire. So I did. I said, you know, I said, I'd like to have my mortgage paid in full and be debt free. That'd be awesome. That would take away such a burden. I'd also like to have a new Harley Davidson motorcycle. And so I asked. I mean, he said ask. So I asked, you know. I don't have it yet, but it's coming. I'm sure of it. He says, confess my truth in your life. Confess daily. My desire for you to prosper, to be blessed, so that you may be a blessing. He said, don't squander my blessing. Be generous, and you will reap what you sow. How many times we do get blessed, I think, and take that blessing and spend it on ourselves, and we don't share that, you know. Again, like I said before, it's not always about me, but nonetheless, he still wants to bless us, and he wants to bless us with good things. He said, know Jesus, know me. Not just believe, but to know. And this is where really the heart of what I want to talk about is to know Jesus and to know God on an intimate level. You know, we have the word and we read it and we say we believe it. But do we? So many Christians out there, they can recite scriptures. And I don't see them living it. I still see them when they come up against something, fail miserably. And then they go to pleading. And God really doesn't want us to be pleading. You know, he wants to have that relationship with us where we flow with him. The word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the word also says faith without works is dead. One of those works we need to be doing is to get to know our Lord on a personal level. And we do that by the word. We get into the word. We find out what his nature is. We find out about he loves us. We find out about what Christ did for us. you know, we find out about the promises that are in there. But do we walk in them? Do we really understand what he's telling us? We need to learn the Bible truths, and we need to know what God says, and we need to know how much he loves us. But if we never put it to action, will we ever really truly know him? You know, I was thinking about a verse, I think I heard it this morning on the TV, but I was pondering it anyway. You know, we're saved by grace through faith, and that faith is a gift from God. First, he gives us the gift of grace. Then he gives us the faith to receive it. You know, that's pretty incredible right there. I mean, it's... And people don't. And I don't know why. It's just... He gives us everything we need so freely. And we have to open up and receive it. But we can't if we don't know what we've been given. You know? We can't know how much he loves us if we don't spend time with him. If we never put our faith to action, never experience or exercise our faith, how can we know what the Bible says is really true? And I'm not talking about doubting Thomas type of stuff. You know, I'm going to have to see it to believe it. But to confirm what the Bible says. You know, to confirm it through experience. How can we know how much he really loves us? And how can we know who we are to him? How can we experience his favor? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of those things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When we exercise our faith in God, we put our trust in him, we put our trust in his word, we put our trust in the word is true, and when we do that, God goes to work behind the scenes. You know, we don't see it, but he's always behind the scenes working in our favor. He's always there working for us, trying to give us the best outcome. And those things not seen, faith, the evidence of things not seen, those things not seen will give way to sight. You'll see it. You'll see it manifest. You'll see the results of exercising your faith. And hope, those things that we're hoping for, will be experienced. You know, Romans 5:3 here. Let me turn to it real quick. It's one of my favorite verses, really, or passages. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's kind of circular. Stuff comes against us. We give it to the Lord and we wait on him. We see him start to act. And that builds our character. It builds our experience of what he is, who he is, what he can do, and what he will do. That gives us hope. Each time that happens and we experience what he does, we know he has the answer. And hope does not disappoint. We experience the results of his advocating for us. And the next time something comes up, we can remember what he did the last time. And we give it to him. And we wait on him. And it continues to build our character and our experience. And each time he does that, he just reinforces. You know, it's just... I'm going to turn to, let's see, Ephesians 1:18 here. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. To know him is to know what are the riches of his glory and the inheritance of the saints. To know him is to know what your inheritance is. Bible says we are his inheritance, you know, but he has an inheritance for us too. You know, Jesus secured it for us. But we got to know it. We got to know it. You know, Ephesians I'm going to go to Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. And this is a prayer I've prayed a lot of times. It's a good prayer, and you can pray it. Put yourself, put your name in it. Put somebody that you want to pray for in it. But for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to his riches, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's a really interesting passage to me. That you may be able to comprehend his love, basically, is what that's saying. I sometimes wonder if how much we really do comprehend how much he loves us, to send his son to the cross, to give us a plan, a purpose, and a destiny. You know, he loves us so much, you know, that he basically bankrupt heaven for us. And he did it knowing full well there's going to be people out there that still reject him. Christ died for those people too. You know, I look at some of the people in the Bible, how much he blessed people. Abraham, David, you know, those guys. I look at some of the ministers and pastors and evangelists we see on the TV. You know, guys that get criticized because they're rich. But these guys are walking in close communion with God. Many of them, I won't say all of them. I know there's people out there with other, you know, other things on their minds. But the guys that are truly successful, they're blessed like that because they have a true understanding of the Word of God. They've spent time with the Lord and know him, and they know the promises that he has for them, and they grab a hold of it. They put in the work. They put in getting to know God. And when Jesse Duplantis was down in Texas this year and we got to listen to him preach, he went off on a verse, and I'm not going to repeat the verse. I don't even remember what it is. I probably have it in my notes, but it was a pretty lengthy passage. And he broke it down real slow, went one line at a time, and then he shut his Bible and he repeated it just about as fast as he could. And it was a long verse, and Jesse can talk really fast. And then he said, I didn't memorize that verse. I learned it. And that really impacted me, the way I thought about the Word of God. He learned it by practicing it. He took that principle that was in that verse. He trusted God with it, and he put it into practice. And he saw the results. He learned it. He got to know God. And that's his whole life. You know, when you listen to him talk, his whole life is just, and same like with Brother Jerry, I mean, is just spending time with the Lord and knowing him on such a level. And I think a lot of Christians, you know, they sell themselves short because they don't take time to get to really know God. We spend a lot of time, I think, sometimes talking about our spiritual battles and, you know, how hard it is and how crafty that old devil is. But really, it's about knowing God instead of knowing what the old devil's up to. If we know him well, we can see the deceit in what the devil's trying to do. We can see the lies that he's throwing at us, the thoughts that he puts on our head. We can see that that doesn't line up. And it makes it so much easier to fight those battles. You know, so many Christians go through life, the battle comes and we scramble and we cry and we pray and we look for scripture to try to fight those battles, to try to find something in the Word that I can use. And there's nothing wrong with finding something in the Word that you can use, but how about if you already got the gospel in you, and the gospel that's in you confronts that thing before you have to go look it up? That's knowing God, you know, knowing what He has and who He is. You know, we need to know that when we speak in Jesus' name, God hears our prayer and He goes to work. We need to know that Satan's a defeated foe. So, you know, you go into battle, he's already defeated. Why are we spending so much time struggling and fighting? Yes, we have to stand. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to continue, regardless of what we see in the natural, to stand on the faith that we in the Word of God and what we know God will do. We have to stand on that till we see it happen. That's, like I said, that's what faith is. Faith will give way to sight if we stand. But it's a whole lot easier to stand when we know who we've got, who's standing with us. You know, we need to know what authority we have, you know, in His name. Now, of course, we need to know that we're under authority too, and we need to operate in, you know, our authority in humility and under the authority of God. You need to know who you are. You know, it's because of Jesus we're all sons and daughters. You know, we're part of God's family. And He wants the best for us. We need to know that because of Jesus, we have favor with God. And we can boldly go into the throne room of grace and petition Him for the things that we need and the things that are going on in our lives. And really just boldly go into the throne of grace and sit with Him and be in His presence. You know, call His presence into your room at home, you know. His presence here today, you know. Speak those things which are not as though they are. We were made in the image of God. How does God operate? He speaks. We can't create new things, but we can sure make a difference in what the things around us. We can change the atmosphere around us by the way we speak. You know. I always think about Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not. How awesome is that? That they were so close. I don't know how that works, if like God just absorbed them. You know, he just like was walking along and just disappeared. But they were so close. You know, and come on with me, Enoch. You know, that is cool. That is really cool. You know, the bottom line is, you know, we just need to spend time and get out of this thought that we have so many things to do. You know, God will help you prioritize your time if you let Him. And He'll open up time you didn't know you had if you're willing to spend the time. I know in the morning I get up generally around 5 o'clock and make my coffee, and then I sit down and try to get awake enough to comprehend. And since I've been doing this, I've been spending more time with Him, more time just listening, more time praying, but more time listening. And I'm almost amazed sometimes when my pen's writing, it's like speaking in tongues. It's not a conscious thing. You just are like, there's something coming out. And it's Him. It's Him showing me. And it's all about just having that relationship with Him. It's all about being Jesus to someone. It's all about being one with Him. That's what He wants. You know. That's where our benefit is. And really, that's all I wanted to talk about today. Just encouraging you to take the time and really get to know God. You know, we say we know that the Word of God is true and we believe. But when you really get to know God, We don't have to think about it. We flow with him and it becomes second nature. And when things try to come against us, the gospel's already in us. And he's already working for us. And he's already got the answer for us. And it just happens. You know, and then we stand on our faith. You know, and hope does not disappoint. And I think that's really cool. So, anyway, I hope that made sense. I wrote big. I had 10 pages, but I wrote big so I could read it.